mistakes and press on to maturity. Paul is saying don't go again and be entangled with a mess that you've already been pulled out of. So sometimes you, how many just know somebody that just keeps on getting the same old stuff? And they won't learn. Well, this is what Paul's kind of talking about. Don't go back to the foundation and try to use the same tactic to get to God that last next time that you used to get to him the first time. Because it won't work. There's only one time, one foundation. Amen? How many remembers Moses? God gave Moses the tables of stone and wrote upon them the first time. Right? He gave them to him. Gave them. Just flat out give Moses the Ten Commandments. And Moses went down and got mad, had a fit, and broke every one of them. That's the only preacher I know of broke all ten at once. But he broke them. He busted them. And God said, boy, you hew your own stones this time. Right? Go read it. Go, and I ain't going to give you a week or 10 days. But be back up here in the morning, and I'll write on them. That's a good lesson in a breaking all 10 at once, right? So he told Moses, he said, you go down there and you got tonight to do it. All I'm giving you, I'm just giving you one day. Man, that's a lot, isn't it? But guess what? That's kind of the way he does. He says, draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. The first time, it's pretty easy to get to him. Second time, you got to do some work. That's what Paul's talking about. Okay, let's move on. Today's world that we're living in is in transition. How many believe that? We're in transition. We're not, global shifts occurring on a broad scale. Fundamental changes are realized in areas of politics, finance, in international relations. We are in an era when it seems like there's no stone left unturned. Everybody is in everybody's business. I don't care how far away they are. Amen? Used to, it took hours and months and years to get a letter across the sea. Now, Facebook, Instagram, you can talk literally instant messaging. You can talk literally anywhere across the globe from your cell phone. Come on, y'all, I'm headed somewhere. We are in an era. Everywhere, the familiar is going away, given away to the unknown. Things are changing like nobody's business. Who would ever thought that we would deal with the things that we're dealing with right now? 20, 30, 40 years ago, you wouldn't have even had an inkling that it would be like it is now. Come on. As Scripture has shown time and time again, what happened in the natural realm is a precursor to what is coming in the spiritual. I'm about to step in something. While the world hurls through global transition, the church is approaching its own crossroad. Are you going to stay back in the 60s? Or are you going to come on up to 2019? Because if you're going to stay back in the 60s with the church, then there's nothing around that was around in the 60s except some people. Right? So if you're going to move forward and minister and reach this world for God, you're going to have to do something out of your comfort zone and out of the ordinary and out of what you've always done. You got to move forward. You got to get some passion. You got to get some intention about reaching the lost of today. And you can't reach them like you did there. You have to reach them where they are. Come on. I wish I didn't have competition with cell phones, but I do. So I refrain from putting up a sign in the church that says do away with your cell phones before service. And a lot of churches has done it, but that's old school. They just won't come. Come. I'm headed somewhere. Y'all don't throw books at me yet. You understand? If I want to reach them, I'm going to reach them over their cell phone. If I'm going to reach them, I'm going to have to reach after them where they are. Ooh. The church is at a crossroads. It's a spiritual line. The end of 500-year period and the entry of another. Every 500 years, something special happens in the Bible. 400 to 500 years. Come on, read it. We are approaching another 500-year mark. Oh. God has often marked spiritual periods in 500-year increments. All through the Bible, you'll find that. Let me tell you, I believe the transition that is, this transition is going to be no exception. What God is bringing to the body of Christ is a magnificent milestone and it hits a 1,000-year process. He's been restoring the church, the pure message of the cross, starting with the one Martin Luther brought in the early 1500s and said, by grace are you saved through faith. And then we begin to get into each transition. I think I covered that last time, so I'm not going to get into that tonight, but I want you to, you can study it out. You can trace it all the way down to 2019, where the apostolic has been restored back to the church, and the church is moving in the apostolic anointing in the 60s, 70s, and 80s that wasn't heard of. But today, in this time that we're living in, God is saying, I'm appointing apostles and pastors and teachers and prophets again in my house to mature my saints so they can be perfected in Christ. And any church that rejects that fivefold ministry, my mentor, he's gone to be with Jesus now. He told me right before he died in 2015, I believe it was, he told me, he called me over there to his house. Brother Paul Eller, some of you know him. He called me to his house and he said, preacher, I want to share this with you. He said, I was sitting here in my chair. And I'm telling you, the things that God showed that guy in his chair, I want to find it. He's either sitting in his chair or at his table. And God starts just showing up, just talking to him like fate, me and you. And some of us, but he told me, he said, I had this vision. I got to share it with you. Because he said, you're going to be able to use it and you're going to see it. He said, I saw God, Jesus, sitting on his throne. And he had his apron. And he said he was doing this number with his apron. Just flipping it. He said, everybody that wasn't in the middle of his apron was falling off. Ministries were just going off like crazy. He said, Lord, what does this mean? He said, son, and that's when he talked to me, he always called him son. He said, son, this is every person that is not in the fivefold ministry is going away. Every church that does not recognize the fivefold ministry is being picked off. Come on, some pastors are too afraid. They're scared. Because the fivefold ministry gets in your church. Come on. Stuff gets right. Including the pastor. You understand what I'm saying? So this is what happens, is the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and the pastor, and the teacher all operate as the hand of God. I think Brother Tracy mentioned this and I'm going to just run through them real quick. The apostle, the prophet, That is your thumb and finger. That is what pinches a pimple out. Come on, I'm just being. It's the grip. It's the grip of the body of Christ. The apostle is the thumb. He can work in any of the other four. He can touch all four other fingers. So he can operate as an apostle, as a prophet, as an evangelist, as a pastor, and as a teacher. Jesus was that. He had all five. Do you understand what I'm saying? The longest finger of the hand is the middle finger, and it's the evangelist. It's the far-reaching. It's the one that can go out there, and it can go outside of the walls, and it can go all parts of the world. It can reach everywhere. It's the longest reaching finger on the hand. The pastor is the relationship finger. That's why it's got the wedding band. He is the relationship guy. A pastor will love you no matter what you do to him. The truth. That's what he's called to do. He is the ring finger. So he'll have a relationship with you when you're going out there and talking smack about him. He'll love you while you're tearing everything down. Now that apostle and that prophet gonna put you in your place. They are the grip. And they don't have no friends and they don't have no enemies. They will plow right through. The apostle, I've always heard, is the bulldozer of the whole. They will just bulldoze right on through anything that stands in the way of God doing his thing and what he wants to do, and they will plow right through it. The pastor won't. But you understand why we need all five? The teacher, then, is the pinky or the balance of the whole hand. Cut your finger, your pinky off, and your hands just don't work right. You understand? That teacher is what balances the hand. The hand of God is balanced by teaching. That's why we need them. We got to have them. So there you got a crash course on the hand of God. Real quick. I got to go. But I believe what is coming, once again, a tidal wave of his glory, a kind of 500-year spiritual flood, a whirlwind that lifts the sails of his people and carries them in waters that they've never been in and ushers in the new, the realm of the Holy Spirit that we have not seen in our whole life is about to be ushered in this period. Oh, let me tell you. Oh, hallelujah. Unlike natural storms that wreak havoc and wreak lives, this storm is not to be feared. Instead, it's a tidal surge from which we are to immerse ourselves with abandonment, with power, with glory, with anointing, with strength. What is coming is a season during which one generation will pass from the scene and leave a legacy of anointing for the next generation. Let me tell you something. It's a generation of power. It's a pivotal point, comparable to the days of which the mantle dropped from heaven from Elijah and dropped on Elisha, because it's a time frame where the regular anointing will be superseded by the double anointing. Let me tell you something. God is wanting to do some great things as he begins to do this next good move of his power. Woo, hallelujah. A biblical transfer of anointing. Elisha took up his master's coat and succeeded him. Not only did Elisha inherit the anointing of Elijah, but he received a double portion that he asked for in 2 Kings chapter 5 or 2 and 9. From our 21st perspective, the charismatic renewal that began in 1968, in the 1960s, has spawned subsequent revivals all over the nation and all over the world, can be compared to the ministry of Elijah, the Oral Robertses, the Kenneth Hagins, those men, Lester Sumrall's, that have experienced the glory and the anointing, and it's kind of wild because Oral Roberts lived in Adair County, was from Adair County, preached his first sermon in Barron. Hey, we're rubbing shoulders with the very best. Hallelujah. And then he preaches his last sermon, and we got that guy sitting right here at his church. Don't tell me God ain't bringing people together for the next big thing that the world has ever seen. It's hard for me not to get turned loose right there, but I got a couple more things I got to cover. But as we proceed through the various moves of God, I believe the church is positioned for a season that paralleled Elisha's ministry. What is occurring today in all its will be in its fullness, far surpass what has ever been before. It will surpass the Peter's day. It will surpass the Paul's day. It will. Come on, if it doesn't, then we have cheated them by Hebrews chapter 11 and last verse in that chapter that said they without us are not made perfect. Everything they went through is a fail if we only become the Jesus' rescue mission. And most churches, that's what Jesus is. I'm just sitting here waiting for him to come back and get me. Oh. I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting. Lord, whenever you're ready for me, come and get me out of this mess. But Jesus is not in a rescue mission. He's waiting for the church to stand up. He's waiting for the church to fight back. He's waiting for the church to become the church. Because he's not coming back after a church that's less powerful than the one he left. Oh, I'm going to say that again. He's not coming back after a church that is less powerful than the one he left. He's coming after a church that has made herself ready. Walking with him. The power of passion and intention. I want to talk about this Elisha principle for a minute. The Elisha principle is the profound and powerful tenet that have operated in Elisha's life and thrust him into the front lines of God's army. That is where we want, right? In the front lines? Come on, come on. Y'all got to help me more now. We want on the front lines, the cutting edge, right? The thick of things. If we desire to see and be a part of the move of God in our time, same principle that governed Elisha is going to have to govern the church. I want to get to the heart of the principle real quick. The Elisha principle is a spiritual code revealed in the godly character of those who can stand firm for the promise of God. It is a mindset that come hell or high water, I am not staying here. Come hell or high water, I ain't staying here. The heart of the principle is bring it on. Bring it on. I'm not staying where I am. I'm going to the next level. God has promised the power of breakthrough. I'm breaking through. He has promised a yoke-crushing anointing. I will not leave here without it. How many wants the breaking question of the anointing of the Holy Ghost that when we go forth, we're going to be powerful in his mighty power? Elisha operated in this principle. He was tested by his mentor, Elijah, at three pivotal points in their relationship. Three times Elijah told Elisha, stay here while I go so-and-so. Elijah's moving on. But Elisha, who knew his destiny, was connected to Elijah's power. knew that he could not stay anywhere without Elijah. Because Elijah had gave him a little phrase. If you see me when I go away. If you see. Whoo. That same Elisha anointing fell on the first church. When Jesus was taken up from them, the angel came and appeared and said, as you saw him go away, he's coming back. Now, go get what he promised you when you saw him go away. Jesus was telling them, go into Jerusalem and tarry, and you'll be endued with all power from on high. They might have forgot, but those angels said, hey, he just told you the key. Go. Don't tarry. Don't stop. Don't let nobody pick you up, get you away from it. Go follow your destiny. Because it's because what he told you when he's about to go away is what you're about to receive when you go obey. Whew, hallelujah. Instead, Elisha declared each time, 1 Kings 2 and 2, 4 and 6, as the Lord liveth and as you live. Oh, as the Lord lives, my God's still alive. And you're still alive. So as long as both of those are happening, I'm not leave you. I'm not going to leave you as long as both of those are true in my life. So Jericho, here I come. I know it's a bad place, Elijah. I've heard stories about Jericho, but I'm going on to Jericho. We as a people of God going to give a God every excuse why we can't go. Despite God's call on his life, Elisha faced resistance, and you will too. The enemy will tell you every day it's not going to work. You know. I wish you'd listen to me to start with before you got this far into it. Woo! But every woman or every man destined for a greater revelation of God's power is about to face resistance that they never felt. And never faced before. God allows it. Why? He uses it to groom you for the anointing he's about to pour on you. If Elijah could talk that boy from going, talk that boy out of going, he would have never been a candidate for the amazing miracles that he was about to receive. Oh, let me tell you, Jesus turned around and looked at his disciples one day, so y'all want to go too? Oh, really, Pastor? Really? But Jesus had work to do. He's busy. Elijah had work to do. If this guy ain't doing it, I got to find the one that will. Elisha. Our response to resistance is crucial. Will we retreat in the face of difficulty, or will we advance? Am I going to advance when that difficulty comes to me, or am I going to retreat? It's easier to retreat, but Elisha was tenacious. Oh, he was tenacious about his responses to Elijah's testing revealed his intent, his determination, his character, the character of a man molded by the hand of God. All of his life, Elijah had been touched by God. God had been molding him. As long as Elijah was alive and God was with him, Elisha would cleave to his mentor. Let me tell you, that should be some possibilities in there for us. Elisha understood that life in the spirit is marked by movement. Stagnation wants to stay. These people don't want to go nowhere. Be careful of them. Don't be mean to them because they just hadn't got the vision yet. Maybe one day they will. Don't be aggravating and frustrated. Oh, you must not have the anointing. Come on. You know us. We're God's little police dogs. He's deputized us. Oh, I got to get off of that, don't I? Stagnancy is evidence of death and decay. And Elisha was not interested in clinging to a form of tradition whose usefulness had passed. He knew doing so would accomplish nothing for the purposes of God. Sometimes we hang on to traditions that's long lost their usefulness and effectiveness. Come on, you wonder why churches do the same thing? And they've done it for 70 years, is because it's comfortable to them now, and they know changing would make them dread to come to the house of God, because we don't know what's going to happen. Come on, you can't stay at home sick and tell by the clock what is happening during service, and you're not even there. Come on, but Elisha said, I'm ready for the clock to go down. And the clock just keeps ticking away. I don't have a clue what's happening in church, because them people done got hold to something and they are moving. So if you weren't here this morning, the preacher went on and on and on. Long past 12 o'clock. But you understand, the Holy Ghost was moving in the house. So when we are moving with God, we're not dead. Amen? How many like to stay moving? Amen? So, the next point I want to make, point number two, boy, I'm getting further than I was, and I thought I was going to get with this. 1 Kings chapter 19, we're going to talk about he's prepared to dance. And he said, what does that have to do with it, preacher? Just a minute. Verse 19 says 19, I believe. Yeah, that's 16. Yeah, 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. Now, I want you to understand something about Elisha. He was positioned for the spiritual changing of the guard. He was found by Elijah because he wanted to be found. Come on. And Elisha wasn't a lazy. I want y'all to get this. Said he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. He wasn't just plowing with one yoke. He was using all the resources he had. Come on, is God? If you want to be found out by God, you better be using everything he gave you. Up here plowing with one yoke of oxen. No. Right? Oh, Elisha's letting him rest and getting another. Letting him rest and getting another. You know why? He was using his resources wisely. You understand why? It's like that little guy in the Bible. This ain't in my notes. But that little guy in the Bible that came up there, he said, Lord, I know you's a hard taskmaster, and I know that you demanded you plant where you sowed or reaped where you didn't plant, and you done all kind of stuff, and I was fearful, so I went and hid mine in a nap. I still got what you gave me. But he didn't use any of his resources. Huh? The church for 70 years has been setting. Now, I'm afraid that if we get into this prophetic, it's going to get pathetic. So we're going to hide that in a napkin. Now, God gave it. We understand it's one of his gifts, but we're not using it because it gets out of hand. I'm headed somewhere. Don't let them tongues get loose in the church because you know that causes confusion. I know it's of God. I know he gave it, but let's just wrap that up in a napkin and lay it over here. We'll have it ready for him when he comes back. Well, we know healing was provided on Calvary, but we're scared if too many miracles happen. They'll get to expecting it. What are we going to do when we can't provide it? That's the trouble. You trying to do it. You just use his resources. He gave them to you, so you got to use them. Because when he comes back, he's going to demand usury. Amen. He's better than the IRS. He's going to demand what you did with it. Show me. I got record. I was watching you when you gave in the offering. I was watching you. I was watching you being bored while the praise and worship was going on. I was watching you because you understand when the sons of God come together, the angels come also. Come on, y'all thought y'all was by yourself in here? Really? There's angels all around this building. Inside, every now and then, they let us have a sneak peek at them. Like a few Sundays ago, sister over here saw some angels in order in the church around some people. So guess what? He allows that sometimes. So anyway, but we know they're here because he said the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him and delivers him. Oh, glory to God. So while they're here, they're not just here to make you feel good or make you want to see them. They're here keeping records. They got tablets in their hands, and they're writing stuff down, and they're taking it back. Come on. Angels are keeping, they're record bookkeepers. How many was here when Brother Tracy talked about heaven and all the record keeping books? Heaven's full of books. Because he said when the books are, that's plural, not just one book. We got the can't even talk. Lamb's Book of Life. And we know that there's some record books. Oh, I gotta hurry. Oh, I can't do this. But you understand God's instructions was clear to him what he was going to do. Verse 15 says, 16 I believe it says, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abimelech shalt thou anoint to be prophet in your room. Now I want you to know that Abel-Meholah, I believe is how you pronounce that, Abel-Meholah, Abel-Meholah. That word is in the Hebrew, means the meadow of dancing. That's why I named my thing as we're prepared to dance. Do you understand what a dance is? It's a synchronation of two people. They become in sync with each other. This is what that word meadow of dancing meant, is there's going to be the former prophet going to become in sync with the next prophet, and they're getting ready to do a dance that's going to change the world. Do y'all understand tonight you're in the meadow of dancing? We are joining the former with what's about to happen, and in the meadow of dancing, he's about to put us together. He's about to bring something down that is going to change Adair County. It's going to change Stillwell. It's going to reach all the way to Westfield. It's going to reach to Cave Springs, to Bunch, all the way to... Why? Because the former is about to get loose with the latter. Former rain and the latter rain will be poured out together. Oh, the reaper will overtake the sower. You'll be sowing so fast that you'll be reaping fast as you sow. Hey, I can buy into that. Can't y'all? Because, in this meadow of dancing, the former and the latter is going to come together in synchronization of what God is about ready to do in this final hour. Prove it, preacher. Oh, thank you. I will. In the book of John, a little bit subsequent, or priest, I don't know what you call it, but anyway, it's a before thing. It's a It's a parallel, if you want to call it, of what God will do in the last was performed in his first miracle. Because he said he turned the water into wine, and the ruler of the feast said most people bring the worst out at the end. But you've saved the best for last. Come on, y'all. I don't know how y'all can sit there. Because what he did in his first miracle is about what he's ready to do in the last miracle. He's saved the best for last. Oh, if you believe that, come on, shout. Come on, give him some praise. He has saved the best to last. I got to quit. Oh. He has saved the best. His first miracle performed the wedding. Hey, a wedding, right? And the last miracle right before the wedding. He shows up and does it again. Because Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. That in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And your old men will dream dreams. And your young men will see visions. And I'll pour it out upon your handmaids. And on your on your sons. I'm going to pour it out upon all flesh. Come on, he didn't specify what flesh. It's going to be on all flesh. I believe when it happens, we're going to see the dogs getting spirit. That's just me. Don't you love them? Some of y'all are pet addicts in here. That ought to make you shout. He said he poured on all flesh. You think God's respecter of person? No. He's going to bless you and everything that's in you and around you and on you. If he's interested in your sons and daughters, he's interested in your puppy dog or your kitty cat. He's interested. He loves you. He loves everything about you. Let me tell you, when the Holy Ghost falls, he's going to bless. Oh, prove that, preacher. Thank you. Look at the house of Obed-Edom. It said everything that he had was blessed. Oh, my, just because he bought in to an ark. And hey, better than the ark is here with us, in our midst, in our turf. God has stepped inside. Woo, my. Hallelujah. So y'all got the meadow dancing? Huh? Aren't you excited? Amen, this is the best dance you've ever been to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Elisha realized immediately that Elijah had not only what he needed, but what Israel needed for their next move of God. You understand, we got to recognize that God not only has what you need, but God has what Ader County needs. Huh? What every other church in Ader County needs. They may not be looking for it. They may not want it to happen. But I'm praying that every one of their old people get a Geographic magazine. If you wasn't here this morning, that didn't mean anything to you, does it? Hallelujah. Woo, I love it. I love it. And the attraction for the dance was mutual. Elisha was attracted to the men of God as the men of God was attracted to Elijah. Why? Because the men of God understood what the next move would be. And God had pointed him out. Elijah now knew Elisha was the one God had chosen to carry toward the forward the legacy of his anointing. The two men met on what you would call the path of synchronizing. They were all with one accord. With what? Come on. This is exactly what happened in the upper room. Is they got up there, they began to synchronize one to another. They all began to worship God with one voice, with one heart. Come on, before worship, do the thing that we do. Say you tell somebody you love them, and then tell them they got to love you, and then you pray for them. You understand what a breakthrough we're about to experience in this church, because unity is where he said, I'll command my blessing, even life forevermore. And if we want the death rate to go down in Stillwell, get in unity, brothers and sisters, we will see life begin to come. Whoa! The place where connections are made is in that place, that valley, that meadow. Not by accident, but by meaningful coincidence. Huh? As Brother Rodriguez says, a coinkadink. Whatever you want to call it. These two men met in the valley of synchronization. Come on, church, we're in the valley right now, in the meadow of synchronization, where God is synchronizing us with his Holy Spirit. And we're getting caught up in the dance. And we're about to let loose. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Elisha was not found because he was ready to be found. He wasn't ready to be found. He was found because he was ready. He had put his hand to the plow. He was prepared for the next move of God. He made full uses of his resources. I mentioned that earlier. I got ahead of myself, didn't I? Plowing with one yoke, not one yoke of oxen, but 12. The next thing he did is he held nothing back. He burned it all. You know why he burned every bit of it? He wasn't coming back to that. He destroyed it. Had a barbecue. Barbecue, 12 yoke of oxen. That's a big barbecue, right? Burn all the stuff. You know why he kissed his family goodbye? I'm not going to see y'all anymore. I'm leaving. But when I come back, y'all not going to recognize this old little old boy's been plowing all these years. Elisha didn't know what all he was going to be doing. He didn't know he was going to be smiting the Jordan River. Come on. And pushing it back like every other prophet had done. Come on. Starting with Joshua. He walked in there, feet hit the water. Old Jordan goes back. Come on. Next prophet, Elijah, shows up. He just hits that thing with his coat. Water goes back. Elisha comes back through there, hits the coat, hits with his coat again. Oh, water goes back. I can just see when Jesus steps out, the fish is going, which way are we going to swim? Every time a prophet shows up, we have to swim the opposite direction. Ah, I love it. This is a place where Elisha learned to dance with the anointed one and his anointing. I wish that we could learn to dance. Woo! It was a place where two men of kindred faith connected. It was a crossroad at which Elisha had to make a decision whether I'm going to stay here or I'm going to go, and whether to be content to tarry or to be compelled to move with God. And I'm telling you, you're going to have the option to stay. My wife's coming back to the piano. I want to just give you one more thing. We'll continue this message next time I get to preach on Sunday night. Maybe not. Who knows? But we must recognize when it's time to stay, when it's time to move on. Synchronization. Get synced with God. How many knows what in sync means? Yeah, if you go on one of them, their iPhones, you sync that thing with your computer. When you hook it up, it says, do you want to sync? And you choose. No, I'm not today. Because it takes too long. And some of us come to the house of God and we plug up to the God plug. He says, do you want to sink today? We said, no, God, it's a Sunday morning. I'll just unplug. Come on. We choose not to download anything that God's got. Come on, it's your choice. For what's about to happen, you're going to be lost in. Moses, when he went down there to get the children of Israel, Pharaoh said, well, you can go down there and worship, but leave your women. Huh? Moses said, we ain't leaving our women. You're crazy, dude. We're not leaving them. Now leave your women and children. Y'all can just go down there and worship. You men can. And just come on back. Y'all can have a men's group down there and have a steak dinner. Worship your God. Huh? What Pharaoh knew is if he ever left the women, they would come back. Come on now. So then Pharaoh says, he says, I want you to let my people, God says, let my people go. Let Israel go. He said, okay, you can go, but don't take your sacrifice. Just leave me all your stuff. Moses just got really anointed, half mad and half anointed, what Brother Joey Hite used to say. And he said, we're not leaving a hoof behind. Come on, what Moses said is I'm trusting God that the elders are not going to be left behind, that the kids are not going to be left behind, that the adults are not going to. There is not anybody that's staying. I don't care how sick they are. I don't care how bad shape they are. They're not staying. And do you know what? God showed up during that Passover meal. And it said they all ate that Passover meal. They ate the lamb. They drank the wine. And it said they all left that night. And there was not a feeble one among them. Come on, when you trust God and say, God, we are moving and nobody is staying. God, the next time they take communion, it might happen. Somebody ought to shout. The next time that they drink of the cup and they eat of the bread, it might be the meal that heals. When I was a little bitty boy, I know y'all tired. I was a little bitty boy in my home church, and our youth leader got cancer, throat cancer. He was 34 years old. He wasn't married at that time. He married a year later. But he was throwing up blood. He couldn't keep nothing down. Couldn't even swallow. Every time he'd start to eat something, he would choke. I remember our pastor said, we fasted, the church fasted. She said, the Lord showed me that if we give him the sacrament tonight, that he'll be healed. The guy couldn't even swallow. Everybody went over there to the house. They all went in the bedroom. We all now, I remember kneeling, 10 or 15, maybe 13-year-old kid, knelt down in the, and we began to pray. And we didn't just say a prayer. We were praying. Because Shay was going in there, and they were fixing to come back the devil. I heard my grandmother tell him, now, Philip, I know you can't swallow. But she said, this is on the word of God. If you'll try it, we're going to rebuke that devil in your that's giving you problems. And you're going to get this down. Because God said that he's going to do the work. Oh. And I remember them praying over it and they blessed it. They commanded the devil to get away from the bed. They gave him that cracker. And his old throat began to close up. And I remember hearing a bunch of them saints say, no, devil, you can't have him. He's God's. And they began to pray. All of a sudden, he got the cracker down. And they all began to shout. But juice is a little tougher. He was scared because he hadn't eaten nothing in almost 2 months. But the cracker kind of gave him a little bit of spunk. He reached over and grabbed that cup. Just like a great big champion. Put that cup to his mouth. Poured his mouth full. Didn't even drink it a little at a time. Poured it in there and swallowed it down. And I guarantee you the next day he ate whatever he wanted. Come on, don't tell me the Passover don't work. It's his meal. He said, if you drink this vine and you eat my flesh and drink my blood. And we know it's not doesn't become the blood of Christ, but yet it is a symbolization of what he did on the cross. And every time we do it in remembrance of what he did, he says, I'll honor it. Every time you do it, I will come down, I will sup with you, and you'll sup with me. Hey, you want an audience with Christ? Begin to take communion on a daily basis, and you'll find healing that you never dreamed. Works. How would I get healed from cancer? That. I took communion every morning by myself. Went to my office down at Chewy. Went in there and got that grape juice and I got that cracker and I said, God, it's me and you today. And I poured him one and I poured me one. And I said, because you said you would come in and you would sup with me and I can sup with you. 3 months later, I was supposed to have been dead. 3 months later, I was preaching. You know why? Because I ain't leaving a hoof behind. So guess what? If you're a part of this church, you say, I ain't moving. I wouldn't say that. Because we're not leaving you behind. I don't understand this. Get ready to get it. Because the Holy Ghost is going to reveal it. Because we're not leaving nobody behind in the next move of God. Come on, everybody stand to your feet. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. And then you can go home, whatever you want to do. But I'm just going to ask you to repeat this with me. Lord, I thank you for your presence. I thank you that you're the God that healeth all our diseases. You're our Savior. God hath raised you from the dead, and we believe it. Now forgive us our sins. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Take us as your children, God. And we thank you for it, and we believe you. In the name of Jesus, everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Come on, shout with a shout of praise.
I want to